Students returning to college this month will find new rules in place aimed at cracking down on campus sexual assault. Schools are under pressure to better deal with what's been called an epidemic. Today, NPR begins a series of stories about campus sexual assault. First, we have an overview from NPR's Tovia Smith about how an age-old problem is now commanding unprecedented attention. And a warning to listeners, this story includes a fictionalized depiction of an assault.
Call it a sign of the times that right along with required writing core courses, incoming freshmen this fall will also face a mandatory crash course on the subject of sexual assault. Turn down for what? At a Rutgers University orientation, student actors on stage in front of some 400 freshmen offer a dramatic take on the campus party scene that is as real as it is raw.
Talking filthy, baby.
I am pumped for the night.
As the party picks up, things quickly go bad when the character Ryan ends up in a room with Jess, who's resisting his advances.
No, like, Ryan, can we just talk?
You are so beautiful.
No, Ryan, stop being. Doing?
Okay, like, seriously, Jess, it's not a big deal.
Okay, Brian, you're hurting me. Can
okay,
you just...
Jess, honestly, why'd you come up here?
Ryan gets increasingly angry and aggressive.
Ryan, please, if you let me go, I promise I won't say anything.
Jess, you want this. Shut the up.
The scene ends with the Jess character wailing and students in the audience wide-eyed and stunned.
Really, people are upset. People are angry. People don't know what to do now.
Brady Root is Rutgers' sexual assault prevention coordinator.
We get some students who are shocked and are saying, you know, does this really happen? Is this really what it looks like? And we're talking about a small number of people that are behaving this way, but they're doing it a lot.
Collecting more precise data on sexual assault is one of the new requirements schools are facing. Rutgers Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Felicia McGinty says the new focus on sexual assault brings a lot of new pressure, but framing it as a national problem, she says, also gives schools more cover as they confront it.
The good thing about where we are now is that it gives us permission to have these conversations openly. It's not the dirty little thing that we don't talk about anymore.
Indeed, in just a few years, the issue has gone from mostly whispers all the way up to the White House and President Obama.
We need to keep saying to anyone out there who's ever been assaulted, you are not alone. You will never be alone. We have your back.
It's like it came out of the closet. The darkness is over.
Bernice Sandler, known as the godmother of Title IX, has watched the legislation she pushed 40 years ago evolve from a club used first against discrimination in hiring and admissions, then in sports equity, and now in sexual assault.
That's the power of Title IX. It's a hammer that's there. And schools know this and are busy scrambling to change their policies, and that makes me smile.
Schools are revamping everything from what counts as rape to who counts as a confidential advisor, and they're under the gun to make investigations and decisions more prompt and fair. The crackdown comes 3 years after the government fired its first warning shot at higher ed with the so-called Dear Colleague letter, putting schools on notice that failing to take sexual assault seriously violates Title IX and could cost them their federal funding.
That was a game changer. That was a tool that many of us used to show our universities, like, hey, you have to do this.
Annie Clark was one of several survivors turned activists who began to tell their stories publicly right around that time and to connect online.
We could have Twitter conversations and use hashtag activism, and we could put complaints on Google Docs, and there was a tipping point.
But we're not out of the bad old days yet, as one federal official put it. Schools are still blaming victims and failing to punish perpetrators. Under new legislation, those kinds of schools would face new sanctions in addition to the so-called nuclear threat that Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights Catherine Lehman recently warned she's not afraid to use.
I will go to enforcement, and I am prepared to withhold federal funds.
Lehman was speaking this summer at a national conference at Dartmouth College, the school that was the inspiration for the movie Animal House and is one of dozens now under federal investigation, volunteered to host the so-called Summit on Sexual Assault.
Sign of the times.
Charlotte Johnson is an outgoing dean at Dartmouth.
Our sort of tactic is to confront it head on. We want to make sure we get this right.
It is an abrupt turn for many schools who've treated incidents of sexual assault as teachable moments and have resisted the idea that their valedictorians or star athletes could also be predators. Gail Stern, who runs sexual violence prevention programs for higher ed and the military, says there's something about colleges that's allowed the problem to quietly fester there longer than at other institutions.
There's a real sense of this is our identity, that they're the best. They're the smartest, they're the most virtuous, and I mean, what's so funny, I can't tell you how many times I've talked with an academic and said, oh, I do all this work with the military, and they've said, oh, the military, well, they need it. And I lose it. I'm like, you need it.
Helping drive home the point, a growing number of alleged victims are winning civil suits against schools, and survivors are more willing to sue. But on the other hand, so are the accused.
Tonight, a UC student suing the school after he was accused of rape.
Dozens of students who say they've been unfairly punished are now pushing back against what they say are kangaroo campus courts run amok.
There's a certain hysteria in the air on this topic.
Ann Neal of the American Council of Trustees and Alumni says schools are running so scared of violating the civil rights of alleged victims, they end up violating the due process rights of defendants instead.
It's really a surreal situation, I think. The government has effectively put our universities in an untenable situation where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
Advocates say the pushback is no surprise as the pendulum swings and sexual assault goes from being just swept under the rug to being treated as a serious crime.
Talk to me, my friend.
Oh, yeah, she was great. All I can say is sluts are a lot of fun.
Back at Rutgers, the student skit dramatizing sexual assault also highlights the underlying attitudes schools are trying to change as the rapist character Ryan is confronted by friends he doesn't get where he crossed a line.
What do you think? Coming up to my room and drinking my alcohol.
What do I
and
think?
Kissing me and
what
getting on think? The bed, letting me get on top of her means. What do you think that
it means? It means nothing.
The Rutgers skit has been cited by the White House as the kind of program all schools should have to help prevent sexual assault. Incoming freshman Skylar Bolkin says it got her attention.
You know, it's infuriating because no one is safe. I know that sounds a little paranoid, but I mean, there's always a chance. And you do have to make sure that everyone is safe, because that's what friends do.
Advocates say training students to be more active bystanders like that and changing campus culture is as critical to reducing campus sexual assault as schools cracking down on perpetrators and the government cracking down on schools. Tovia Smith, NPR News.